How are we? Is this on? I don't think it is. Is it coming through? Oh, it is. Okay, I should sing then. Actually, I shouldn't. If you know me, you don't want me to sing. Good to see you all. There might be a few faces I don't recognize. Actually, most of you, you all just look the same. Yeah. If you're new, my name's Steve Kovitz. I'm the lead pastor here. About to go through that sermon, but just a couple of things to say. How nice is it meeting in a building built for what we do? I want one. Yeah, I reckon, Steve, you're saying it's forever away. Let's make forever as soon as possible that we can have a purpose-built building for church, for mission, not just one day a week, 7 days a week. So, yeah, it is awesome to be in this place meeting together. A lot of people have put a lot of effort into getting us here. Generosity of the SDAs, I mean, they're just so kind. But then our leadership teams, ministry teams, logistic teams, all working to get us here. So well done to them as well. Great to be here. If you are, if this is your first Sunday, we are pretty lame. Like when it comes to claps and cheering and being excited, let Arvo Church be the one that just goes off, okay? You're allowed to, especially if it's praise to Joe. And it was the same person who did it both times. Change of pace now. You ready for a gear change? It is exciting to be here. But I'm glad Janice just prayed for those who are grieving, who are not well. I forget the exact word she used, because tomorrow things change. New South Wales hits the 70% roadmap. So it's only the double dose, the vaccine double dosed, that get to enjoy more freedoms than those who are not vaccinated. And so for our church, there are some differences about how we move forward for the next couple of weeks. And that's just sad. As a church, I'm calling us to grieve that situation that some of us won't be able to come next Sunday because we've only received one dose or no doses at all. The way that will affect our point groups around church as well. So just calling us as a church to be mindful of this situation as we move forward. But we're going to move forward together, even though some of us are really grieving that we cannot actually be physically together for a while. But we're going to work out how to embrace each other. Okay, now that's a little side issue. We're going to come into God's Word. I'm going to pray again. Oh, no, just before I do. If you've got questions during the sermon, text them to a number that's going to appear on the screen, and then we'll have some Q&A after the sermon as well. Father God, thank you that you are a speaking God. We have your word and your spirit speaks your word directly into our hearts. So help us now. Come under your word. Come under your authority. Keep changing us to be more like Jesus. Amen. Well, we are 19 months in to a global crisis, and there is no firm end date in sight. And so last week we started, we were online last week, weren't we, a four-week preaching series that is called God is Our Shelter. But we need to remember in this season that microphones echo. We need to remember in this season that God is our hiding place. God is our refuge. Our God is in control. The COVID chaos has affected us all. There's many casualties. One of the main ones being our mental health. We're living under heightened anxiety. For all of us, that's just exhausting. For some of us, it's beyond exhaustion. Now, I mentioned last week that this sermon series arose out of a talk I listened to on the psychology of a crisis. Long-term crises disrupt four key building blocks of our psychological health: our need to connect, our need for order, our need for control, and our need to contribute. And now, each sermon will take one of those and look at it through a biblical lens. That's my fault. I've got a pacemaker. That was a lie, I don't. I've got to stop doing little jokes. My kids are going to kill me tonight. We're going to look at each of those connect, order, control, and our need to contribute through a biblical lens. Last week, we looked at connection. We were reminded that one of the overarching themes of the Bible is that our God wants to connect with his people. Our God sent Jesus Christ so that God could rescue his children back into his family. And because we're his family, we connect with each other as well. That was last week. This week, we're looking at order. The COVID crisis has thrown us into chaos, and chaos is the opposite of order. All of our routines have been thrown into chaos. You know, when we were in lockdown, you could wake up in the morning, stay in your PJs, go to table, eat brekkie, and then stay at the table, do online school, go to work if you still had your job. Our daily routines were disrupted through chaos. Our important routine of mourning, M-O-U-R-N, not M-O-R-N, mourning was interrupted. Some of you were not able to attend important funerals. Life-giving routines have been interrupted. You know, when you go to the shops just to pick up a few things, one of the great things about Port Macquarie is you know each other, but we weren't supposed to talk to each other. We were just supposed to go in and out. Our routines have been disrupted through the COVID chaos. And we need routine for the sake of mental health. Now, on the one hand, we don't need a sermon to let us know about that. I mean, our GP would tell us that. Our psychologist would tell us that. A life coach, a friend would tell us that. Dr. Phil would tell us that. On the other hand, I want to focus on order. On routine. I mean, the scriptures open with God creating an orderly world. Out of nothing, God put order on a universe that was formless and void. God instituted day and night. God instituted human leadership over this world. It's not the animals who steward God's world, it's us. Routine and order are not just part of our DNA. Routine and order are part of the fabric of the universe. And so here's the plan for tonight's sermon. Firstly, we're going to look at created order. Then we're going to look at spiritual order. And then we're going to look at the implications of those two for our routines. And so created order, spiritual order, and the implications for our routines. Firstly, created order. Now, when we talk about created order, the obvious place to run to in the Bible is Genesis. Our Bible reading focused on the creation of Adam and Eve. If you know Genesis, you know that it also opens up with God creating the whole universe, which is quite ordered. Come with me to Genesis 1, verse 1. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God built order into our world. There is day and there is night, and this order is fundamental to our health. Ask any shift worker, ask any parent of a newborn child, the rhythm of day and night is important. There is also an order to how our world is supposed to work. Look at verse 26. Steve already read that with us. I'm going to read it again. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Humans, that's you and me, are created in God's image. That is a huge honor. And with that honor comes a responsibility. We're to subdue the earth. We're to rule God's earth. And remember, we're image bearers. And so we're to subdue it. We're to rule it in the way that our God would, with justice, righteousness, mercy. God created order to our world. Okay. I'm hoping that's pretty simple. God created a world with order. But how are we to tap into that order? Some people go and actually pay money to get a coach to tell them how to order their, whatever it might be, their bowling action for cricket or their three-point shot for basketball or their working career. They want to climb the ladder, so they go get a coach to help them order their life. But what does a life coach need to have to hand it on? Wisdom. You need wisdom. That's what the person is wanting from the coach, some wisdom. And so really, coaching is about building wisdom into somebody else. For the Christian, we have a life coach. It's the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in the Old Testament is described like this. It says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Another way we could say that is wisdom equals embracing God's order. Proverbs is a great book for us to learn how important it is to embrace God's order. Proverbs tells there's seasons. And so if you're a farmer, make sure you plant in the spring. Make sure you harvest before winter comes. Don't be lazy. Don't sleep in and miss school, miss work. Look at the ant and how industrious the ant is. Fools tend to blab their mouth and get themselves beaten up. Wise people are conservative with their words and get invited into the king's palace. Hang out with fools and you'll end up a fool. Have people in your life that will speak tough love. Proverbs over and over and over and over is full of wisdom on how we step in to God's ordered world. We have Proverbs because God created an ordered world. We are designed to live orderly. But this all begs the question, are we willing to submit to God's order? As we like to say here at The Point, the first five words of the Bible are the most controversial words for many people. In the beginning, God created. God made, therefore God sets the rules. And so here's where we're going to shift from created order into spiritual order. So here's where we're up to. Let's get this right. God made this world and God made us. God did not create randomly. God created orderly. It's like the old saying goes, my house, my rules. So if you're a smoker, you're welcome to come over to my house, just as much as a non-smoker. But if you want to smoke, I'm going to send you outside. My house, my rules. God looks over his entire universe and God says, my house, my rules. So, if we are not submitting to God's order, to God's rules, Who are we submitting to? Ourselves. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did at the very beginning. They thought they knew better than God. And so if we're not submitting to God, we're saying, I know better than you, God, or I just want to flat out rebel against you. And so the most important decision we must make in life is, will we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith? And so if you're here still checking out God, still checking out your relationship with Jesus, still checking out your relationship with his church, get along to that life course. And now, just hands up again those who have been to the life course. Now, can you sort of say, is it worth it again? Yeah, you were lame before. If you're new here, you're still checking out God. Jordan and his team treat questions openly, want to receive questions. You'll be respected. Get along. It'll be the best decision you ever make in your life. But even for those of us who have, which is probably most of us, this is a church, isn't it? Most of us have submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even for us, every day, we need to make decisions to submit to God's order. Have you ever paused to consider how many times you think you know better than God? How many times are you tempted to tell a little lie to avoid a difficult conversation with someone? How many times are you tempted to push for your own way rather than to consider others' needs above your own? How many times did you procrastinate just this week and put off the things you knew you were supposed to do? You weren't industrious like the ant. How many times do you give in to selfishness? And now that I've got you thinking about all those things, let me just put and twist the knife a little bit more. How good have you become at justifying that behavior? Just ask my kids when somebody cuts me off as I'm driving in the car and I get angry at them and they say, Dad, calm down. And I'm like, yeah, but they deserve it. I'm trying to teach them how to drive better. We all struggle to sit under God's order. But here's why we must. Through creation, we see God speak, and then he created a world. God is the author of us. Just like a writer is the author of his or her book, God is the author of you and me. God has authority over you and me. And he's good. And then through the gospel, when we rebelled against God, God sent Jesus to die in our place so that if we come to Jesus in repentance and faith, God will reauthor life into us. It will give us eternal life. And so creation and through recreation, through the gospel, we see God's authority. But in Genesis chapter 3, we see the serpent come and speak lies to Adam and Eve. Through the fall, death and chaos was authored. Listen to this quote from a guy called John Stott. The book's called The Church, A Unique Gathering of People. One of the things about the devil is that he is a fanatic and the enemy of all common sense, moderation, and balance. The devil is a liar. He is a deceiver. He is a disruptor. God is the author of life and order. The devil is the author of death and disorder. So living an ordered life, it's not simply good for our mental health. Submitting to God is the most important decision we make every day. As James chapter 4 verse 7 tells us, submit to God and resist the devil. Any Colin Buchaners out there want to sing it? Right. There is created order. Our God created an ordered world. and there is spiritual order. We must submit to our Creator. God authored this world. Therefore, we must submit to His authority. How does all of that help us live through this global crisis? Great question. Glad you asked it. Let's go into that answer. Here's where we shift now into implications for our routines. God created an orderly world. And so, friends, we need routine in our life. We've learned over the last 19 months that when it comes to homeschooling, when it comes to working from home, we actually need to put some boundaries around that, some routines around it. We need to wake up in the morning and still go to school at the same time. We've learnt that if we start to get into some bad routines, like maybe having a nap during the day or early evening and then staying up all awake and binge watching whatever your favourite show is at the moment and then sleeping in till noon the next day and not getting your work done, turns into a dangerous spiral, and if it keeps going, leads into all sorts of mental health issues. We've learnt the importance of routine through the beginning of this crisis. And part of our routine must be rest and recreation. For all you workaholics out there, and I know that's all the high school students, all you want to do is study, study, study. Take a break. Rest and recreation need to be part of our routine. God is God. We are not. God's the one who never sleeps or slumbers. We need rest and recreation as part of our routines. Furthermore, make sure one of your daily routines is time with God in His word and prayer. Not in a legalistic way. You're going to go to hell if you don't read your Bible. No, that's not what I'm saying. In a life-giving sense, we need to hear from the author of our life every day. Also, when it comes to church family, last week I stressed the importance of connection. This week I want to stress the importance of the regular routine of connecting with your church family. Order your week around Pointy J and Sunday church if you're a youth. For us adults, order your week around Point Group and Sunday. Make it part of your routine. Don't work out your week with all this other stuff and then go, okay, I can fit in God and God's people here. Now, without a doubt, Zoom and online church is just the pits. But it's better than nothing when we're not able to meet together. Online church is going to be better over the next few weeks if you're not able to come to Sunday church. And make even the not good Zoom and online church part of your weekly routine if that's all you have going forward for whatever reason. Because one of the things we learned from the first lockdown is when we came back together, not all our family came back. We lost some, and other churches found the same thing. And overwhelmingly, here's what we found. The people we lost were people who before COVID did not make weekly commitment to God's people part of their routine. Also, if you're got into bad habits of your screen and scrolling through and checking and getting updates all the time from social media, from your friends, and from the news. What's the latest COVID news? Always got to be checking. Recognize you might be addicted to clickbait. And you need to stop that bad routine. Have a daily check-in with whatever you want to check in. Make it 15 minutes, 20 minutes if you must. I won't put time boundaries around it. Make it a short period of time. But don't be addicted to this. Get rid of some bad routines that you might need to. Okay, daily routines are important. Daily time with God is important. Weekly time with God's people is important. Rest and recreation is important. Getting rid of bad habits is important. Finally, submit. Submit your will to God's will. Fight to know the joy of submitting to your Creator. The gospel of our age is do whatever you want, whenever you want to do it, as long as you don't hurt anybody. You know, the sin of our age is to not be authentic to yourself. You need to express yourself and who you truly are. The gospel of this age is be who you want to be, do what you want to do, my body, my choice. The gospel, God's gospel, is die to self. God's gospel is if you want to truly know life, die to yourself and hand your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are physical and spiritual beings. God has a design for our physical and spiritual health. Brother, sister, take care of yourself. Remember when these things with wings, I think they're called planes again. Is that what they are? Remember when we used to be able to fly on those things? And the flight attendant would come out and give that spiel. One of the things they would say is that, you know, if there's a crisis, they usually didn't say if there's a crisis, but if there's a crisis, that dangly thing comes down, the oxygen mask, put your mask on first. Take care of yourself first before you look out for others. Brothers and sisters, friends, we're in a crisis. Been there for 19 months. It'll be going on for a while into the future. Take care of yourself. I'm not saying ignore other people, but I am saying prioritize taking care of yourself. God has ordered our lives in a certain way. We need to take care of ourselves. Many of the mental health issues that we're seeing rise up can be combated by taking care of ourselves. That's not just health advice from a GP or a psychologist. That's the wisdom from our Heavenly Father. And as Christians, don't we love those first five words of the Bible? In the beginning, God created. So we want to listen to Him. We want to submit to Him. We want to follow Him. He has our physical and spiritual well-being in mind. Let's pray, and then I'm going to see if you have any questions. Oh, Father God, this is a tough season. So we pray that you would help us listen to each other, get alongside each other, that we would grieve, that we would express our anxiety well to each other and to you, and that through all of that we would run to you, that we would see that you are our shelter, you are our rock. None of this has taken you by surprise. And so we pray, Father, this week as we think about our routines, not just for this week but into the future, help us order rightly, not because we have to, but because you're our author and we want to listen to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.